Good morning, Rabbi Galperin. How are you?
Thank God, Ilan. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm ready for this hot day. We're going to get 39 degrees Celsius.
Right, you know, and what do they say in Fahrenheit by us, that it's going to be 99, but with the humidity and so on and so forth, can reach about 108, 110.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a lot of fun for all the kids that are in camp.
Yeah, but
for all the counselors, too.
Yeah, but they have the pool.
Yeah, that's true, too.
That's it.
So, you know, but thank God, you know, as long as everyone's healthy, then we'll have to deal with it, whatever God gives us.
Yeah. So, Parashat Matot.
Parashat Matot, and it's a, we see in this Mishnah portion that Moses conveys the laws governing the annulment of vows to the heads of the tribes of Israel. In other words, for example, if a person vows that he would never do this again, and he says, I promise, God's name or whoever, whatever it may be, it's not so simple just to say, okay, now I'm not doing it anymore. He has to go through a stage of annulment, which would have to then go to the heads of the tribe and so on and so forth, the process through that. And we see also a little bit later on in the Torah portion that the tribes of Reuben and Gad, that when they were splitting up the land, asked for the land east of the Jordan.
Yeah.
Why? Because they wanted to have very, very, it was a very, very prime pastoral land for the cattle. And they were worried very much about the cattle, that they wanted to have the greatest and the best land assessing that the people can graze. I'm sorry, that the animals can graze.
Yeah.
If you go and look, I don't know if you've ever seen, but you know, if there's a deal going on between diamond merchants, normally what it is, the one person gives the diamonds to the other person, they shake their hands and they say, Mazel,
yeah.
Right, good fortune and blessing.
Exactly.
And once those few words have been said, the deal is done.
That's the deal.
You know, it's got all the power of all legal, you know, contracts and so on and so forth. And I think it is, you know, really in tribute to the diamond brotherhood and fraternity that in their industry, a word is a word. And, you know, sometimes in other industries, in other people's minds and in other companies, even a contract isn't worth the paper it's written on. And here, the word spoken of mazel and bracha is really, really the binding factor between those two people. Now, if we look in this Mishnah portion, as I just said, Moses opens up with the words that, and this is what the beginning words of the Torah of this Mishnah portion is, that Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes, if a man takes the vow, he shall not desecrate his words. Whatever issues from his mouth, he shall do. In other words, if this is what you said, then this is what you need to do. A word is a word, promises are promises, and the word that we utter, the word that we say, are holy words, are very sacred. And if we disregard what we say, what happens is we are desecrating, to a certain extent, our word. That is why many people, when they're very, very careful to add the words that I will make sure, for example, to be at your house at a certain time, and they will say bli neder, without vowing.
Yeah.
Because whenever they say something that might be constructed as a vow, I promise I will be here at a certain time, so that should they be prevented from fulfilling what they expressed their intention to do, this would not then, you know, constitute a grave offense of violating a vow, because they said blinator without vowing.
Yeah.
Now, this, of course, in no way takes away the regard that we hold of our word, and the need, the importance of carrying out one's promise, even, you know, we say that, you know, it's not a vow, we're saying it's bli neder. Saying bli neder without a vow doesn't mean that, okay, I'll just say whatever I want, But if I certainly made it, then who cares? It doesn't make a difference. I'm not responsible to be held accountable for the words that I said. But no, Pleneder just sort of takes us away from the transgression, if you want to say, of not being able to fulfill that vow. But it doesn't make our words any less important or holy, or that we have now an excuse to say, well, I said Pleneder, I'm done. The question is really, is why was this commandment given that God, that Moses said, you know, that if a man takes the vow, which I was desecrated, he was giving it specifically to the heads of the tribe. Surely it applies to each and every one of us. Every one of us is obligated in the same thing. So why did he not come to all the Jews and say, all the Jews, all the people in the Jewish nation, if this is what happens, if a man takes the vow, so on and so forth. Now, a simple answer is that since it is usually leaders who make the most promises, it is they who really need to be cautioned and say, whoa, think and be careful before you say something. You know, think about it. A politician, for example, you know, are very, very politicians are very, very famous for their infamous, campaign promises. I will never raise the taxes, or I will never do this. The problem is that once they're elected, 99% of the time, those promises are not fulfilled.
Yeah.
You hear all the time, you know, about the candidate who promises, I'm going to lower taxes if I was elected. And as soon as he takes office, he raises the taxes. And, you know, obviously, with the normal way of dealing, he's challenged by the people about that he hasn't kept his promise. And why he says, okay, so I lied. No, what's the big deal? We were the naive people that we were quite genuine and thinking that if he says something, this is what he says. So we have to be very, very cautious and be very careful with the words of what we're saying. And if you go and look, there are many, many books that have been published on this subject of, you know, business ethics. And even though there are books written out there and people talk, that doesn't mean anything. The main question that we have to constantly keep in our mind is, did we keep our word?
Yep.
Did we carry out our commitment? Or do we just duck and say, well, who cares? I lied. Big deal.
Even though God is understanding and He is forgiving too, because sometimes, you know, you say something that you really didn't mean to. So in this parasha, they say that if you have like a crowd of witnesses, you can cancel what you were promising.
What you promised.
Yeah.
Correct.
Only if you really didn't mean it.
Correct. Well, there's a difference based on what you're saying. The difference if someone comes up and says, I promise I will never raise taxes, or I will give you $1 million, or I will this. To a person saying that he was so mad, someone bothered him, someone heard it, whatever, he says, I will never talk to you again, or I will that is not something he was very lightheaded, he was very hot-headed, he was very emotional, he didn't mean what he said. He wasn't at that, you know, state of mind to be able to understand what he was saying. He was just so assumed and so mad. That's a different story. You can get those things, you can get annulled if you have three people, 10 people, whatever, however you want to go, with the best in.
Yeah.
That's why they say that never speak to someone that's just gone into a huge argument or a fight, because obviously you're going to hear things that later on the guy will regret even saying. So you have, you know, those that little difference. But yes, you're correct.
And I believe even after Yom Kippur, God can cancel promises and swears.
Correct. Well, that's why before Yom Kippur starts, we ask people for forgiveness.
Exactly.
For forgiveness.
Yeah.
And that's why we say there's something called Hataras Nedarim, which is annulling the vows, where we say in front of 10 men, everyone gets up and they says, you know, we ask that we should be able to be forgiven for the words that we uttered, whether we knew what we were saying or we didn't know what we were saying, whether we meant it, whether we didn't mean it, what promised, whatever it may be, to be able to say, now I want to be able to start with a new thing. But it's still very, very important that if a person gives a word, you need to be able to keep your word and say what you're saying. No matter what, let's say, for example, I'm running a company, another company might be cheating, might be doing something different, might the way that they're behaving might not be ethically correct or even morally correct. Doesn't mean that I have to do it that way.
Yeah.
And that's very important, whether it be in our business relationship or in the darker pleasures that we make to charities or to synagogues. Our words should be kept as a bond. It's a tying knot that this is what it is, no matter what happens. So we will leave not necessarily keeping of the words. We can leave those to politicians and so on. But a Jew should really be careful and sacred with the words that a person says. Now that's something small in regards to this week's Torah portion. But I thought that maybe we could just discuss for a couple of seconds or minutes in regards to that. We're now in a period of the 3 weeks of the mourning period, which started on Shivat Tavet Tammuz, which is the 17th day of Tammuz, which was on Tuesday, which generally always falls out in the summer. And this is where we mourn the destruction of the Holy Temple. And it all started on the time, obviously, on the 17th day of Tammuz, where the walls of Jerusalem were breached by the Romans in 69 CE. And obviously it then reaches its climax and concludes with the fast of Tisha B'Av on the 9th day of the Av, when the both holy temples, the first and the second, were both set aflame.
Yeah.
And obviously this is the saddest day of our history in the Jewish
history.
And
there's a fast too,
And there's a lot of different various customs that go into the 3 weeks. Now you have the 3 weeks, and then you have the 9 days. So the 3 weeks are starting from Shiva Sabbat Tammuz, and then you have the 17th day of Tammuz, and then you have the nine days, which start from Rosh Chodesh, the beginning of the month of Av, till Tisha B'Av, which Tisha is nine.
Yeah.
Those 9 days are probably the more of the strictest parts of the 3 weeks, where you don't go on unnecessary, long trips or vacations or those types of things. And it's a mourning period, so we don't have weddings and we don't have big celebrations that make us happy, obviously, because we're mourning the destruction of the temple of the Beit HaMikdash. So I thought that for any of the viewers that would be interested, and listeners, that's a small little and obviously you can go online and look more in depth in regards to the 3 weeks and then the 9 days, but that's more of the gist of what the 3 weeks are.
Yeah, and the day of Tisha B'Av, I believe it's the 9th of August this year.
That probably is correct. Yes, it's a Tuesday. That is correct.
Yeah.
So, so that's in regards with the 3 weeks.
So, Rabbi, what about services in Shari Tzedek this Shabbat?
Services are 7:30 p.m. and 9 o'clock on the Saturday morning, and 8:30 Sunday morning at the Shar HaShemayim Synagogue, where there is breakfast following. So everyone's invited, the whole community, anytime.
Thank you, Rabbi, and I hope to have you next week. Bli Neder, without the Neder.
Yes, for sure. Bli Neder, for sure.
And Shabbat Shalom.
You too. Be well. Thank you, Ilan. Have a great hot day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Be well.